decoding enemy transmissions so you get the truth.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Wow, okay, folks, I am about to go to President Trump from an epic speech earlier today addressing the opioid problem in the United States of America. But this is just breaking on Drudge right now. Redlinked, Cambridge Analytica, British analytics firm, filmed bribes, ex-spies, fake IDs, and sex workers to entrap politicians. And so it gets into how they could use blackmail, essentially, to influence elections. Then you've got, in the same column, ex-Obama campaign director says Facebook was on their side. Well, yeah, of course, just like they were Hillary's. And, of course, you've got the news that they may have violated FTC privacy deal, say, former federal officials, triggering risk of massive fines. And their leadership, Mark Zuckerberg, is a total cuck. So now you've got Facebook in the heat. And this is just amazing because, again, how long has InfoWars been reporting this? We told you they were on Obama's side. We told you that people use blackmail to blackmail politicians and influence elections and politics. And so now it all comes out. Again, InfoWars is next year's news today. But first, let's go to Donald Trump speaking today. I think if you thought Donald Trump was ever going to launch a war on big pharmaceutical in this company or in this country against big pharmaceutical companies, today is the day you mark the beachhead as the day that he announced that war. Listen to President Trump's rhetoric against big pharmaceutical companies today.
And our Department of Justice is looking very seriously into bringing major litigation against some of these drug companies. We'll bring it at a federal level.
Did you hear that? Federal litigation
some
against big drug companies.
Some states are already bringing it, but we're thinking about bringing it at a very high federal level. And we'll do a job. We're going to cut nationwide
long overdue
opioid prescriptions by one-third over the next 3 years. We're also going to make sure that virtually all prescriptions reimbursed by the federal government follow best practices for prescribing. We'll ensure that opioid addiction is not subsidized by the American taxpayer. The best way, so important.
Listen to that. We're not going
to
have to pay for these drugs anymore.
The best way to beat the drug crisis is to keep people from getting hooked on drugs to begin with. As part of that effort, so important. And this has been something that...
And who wants you hooked on the drugs? The drug companies.
Spending a lot of money on great commercials showing how bad it is. So that kids seeing those commercials during the right shows on television or wherever, the internet, when they see these commercials, say, I don't want any part of it. That's the least expensive thing we can do, where you scare them from ending up like the people in the commercials. And we'll make them very, very bad commercials. We'll make them pretty unsavory situations. And you've seen it before. And it's had an impact on smoking and cigarettes. You see what happens to the body. You see what happens to the mind. So we're announcing a new website, crisisnextdoor.gov, where Americans can share their stories about the danger of the opioid addiction and addictions. But we're thinking about doing really a large-scale rollout of commercials that show how bad it is for the kids. And when they
and
see
who do you think
that
scares? That scares Big Pharma right there, folks.
Going to drugs of any kind. Drugs of any kind. And we'll save a lot of lives and we'll make their life a lot easier. This epidemic can affect anyone. And that's why we want to educate everyone. The second part of our initiative is to reduce the supply of illicit drugs. 90% of the heroin in America comes from our southern border, where eventually the Democrats will agree with us and will build the wall to keep the damn drugs out.
So how about that? President Trump today, another epic speech. We'll be right back.
Ah.
are. Live from Austin, Texas. This is the War Room. And it is Monday, March 19th, 2018. Live from the studios in the InfoWars World Headquarters here in Austin, Texas, where there have been four explosions, four bombings, however you want to phrase it, in the month of March. And so now, living in Austin, Texas, I wake up to an interactive bomb map, as if I'm in Baghdad. And so here we are. You'd think that would be the biggest news going, but somehow it's not. Because now Facebook is in trouble for violating privacy rules. Facebook former execs are admitting that they're biased and favor Democrats. And of course, honestly, the biggest news that I don't even think I have a story on my desk today, because it's the biggest news that's been the biggest news that just gets redundant, but continues to stay as the elephant in the room. President Trump is fighting back against the deep state. Now, in fact, the only story I actually have about that is right here. Because, and this is all spin. This is all spin, this headline right here. And just let me just do my due diligence here and let you know what to expect on the broadcast today. In the first hour, I'm going to try to knock out all of this news. In the second hour, Roger Stone is going to be joining me, and he's got Jacob Engels on, as well as Jerome Corsi. So the second hour is going to be absolutely loaded. And then in the third hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines and hopefully just take your calls for the entirety of the third hour. Granted, there's no breaking news that we need to get into or any developments in any of the current news. So that is the show structure for today's broadcast. Now, guys, pull up Trump's Twitter as I'm talking about this and just show some of the tweets that they're talking about here. And of course, this is nothing new from President Trump. He's been tweeting about McCabe. He's been tweeting about Stroke. He's been tweeting about the FBI and Comey and the witch hunt and everything. So we already know about that. He's been tweeting about Mueller's team of loaded Democrat lawyers. But as you can see here, yeah, good job, guys. Just pull up those tweets and just kind of go down it so that the audience can kind of see what I'm talking about and how they spin this headline in the Associated Press. Some in GOP alarmed as Trump tweets against Robert Mueller. Okay, well, that is such spin about what's actually going on. It's not even funny. See, what Trump is doing is he's addressing what he believes is a quote-unquote total witch hunt with massive conflicts of interest. Now, in this story, again, the headline, some in GOP alarmed as Trump tweets against Mueller, not really. They don't even really get into that. That isn't even really the brunt of this story. It just gets into how Trump is tweeting back against Mueller and the Russian collusion investigation, which has provided absolutely zero evidence of Trump colluding with Russia. And the House Intelligence Committee has even shut down their portion of that investigation, saying there is no collusion found. They're done with it. They're done wasting time. They're done wasting taxpayer dollars. And so Trump is ready for the special counsel to do the same thing. Of course, they're not. They're now subpoenaing the Trump organization. Mueller continues to expand his investigation, which really knows no bounds at this point. Has had multiple indictments, none of which are fruitful of anything, except, again, a massive witch hunt. Oh, and so then they say, oh my gosh, poor McCabe. He gets fired just a day before he gets his pension. Trump is so cold. How dare President Trump do this to McCabe? He's a hero. He was just trying to look for the truth. Oh, poor McCabe. How about Mike Flynn? Do any of you care about Mike Flynn, whose life has been ruined? General Mike Flynn, whose life has been ruined, whose family has been attacked? It's funny to me that the media will act like it's the most absurd thing and rude thing in the world for President Trump to attack Andrew McCabe and for him to be fired before he gets his pension. But the liberal media and Mueller's team and the Democrats destroying the life of General Mike Flynn is okay. That flies as far as the left is concerned. But Trump firing a crooked, corrupt member at the FBI so that he doesn't get his pension, so that a corrupt FBI member doesn't get his pension, our taxpayer dollars, that's bad. But a political witch hunt destroying a man's life, that's okay. Now, here's a tweet from President Trump, guys. Pull that back up. Or actually, you know what? Go to Trump's most recent tweet. Here you go. A total witch hunt with massive conflicts of interest. And then he goes down it. He says, why does the Mueller team have 13 hardened Democrats, some big crooked Hillary supporters, and zero Republicans? Another Dem recently added. Does anyone think this is fair? And yet there is no collusion. Spent very little time with Andrew McCabe, but he never took notes when he was with me. I don't believe he made memos except to help his own agenda, probably at a later date. Same with lying James Comey. Can we call them fake memos? And again, then he goes back and he talks about Comey lying under oath. And Alex Jones covered that. Was that today or yesterday? I'm so flubbed. I'm so flummoxed right now. I can't even get my Alex Jones show straight. But he played the clips. So that's what you got. And so Trump just calls all of it out as it is, states facts. The Associated Press twists it, makes up a headline, says the GOP's alarmed about Trump's tweets, even though he's 100% right. Say, how dare President Trump ruin Andrew McCabe's pension, as if that's some big crime, some crooked FBI agent not getting his pension, not getting his taxpayer dollars, not sticking his hand into your pocket one more time, as if that's some big crime. But they're okay with General Mike Flynn, who honorably served this country, ruining his life. They're okay with that. Wow. And so this is the world we live in. And then again, it comes out now. Stories are coming out. It's all on Drudge. Facebook may have violated FTC privacy deal, say former federal officials, triggering risk of massive fines. Ex-Obama campaign director drops bombshell claim on Facebook. They were on our side. Oh, so excuse me. I misspoke earlier. It's an ex-Obama campaign director, not an ex-Facebook official. So I just want to be corrected on that. I'll correct myself here live on air again. We're not on teleprompters. Facebook plunges, that's their stocks, as pressure mounts on Zuckerberg over data. Well, Zuckerberg is a total cuck. And so if you think that Zuckerberg has the answer for this, you're totally wrong. Of course, Zuckerberg was never running the thing to begin with. Probably a CIA op. Oh, but now they're in trouble for breaking privacy deals. And then there you have it. Cambridge Analytica has essentially been Project Veritas, not by Project Veritas, but by independent investigators. And now the video is on YouTube where they admit they basically entrap politicians. They can blackmail politicians. They use sex workers against politicians. And it's all in that video. And this is nothing new. You already get this. We already get these types of videos from Project Veritas. What, Project Veritas catches Twitter, the New York Times, the Washington Post, YouTube. I mean, catches all of them admitting candidly on secret video their bias. They hate Trump. They hate Trump supporters. They try to stop Trump supporters. They try to stop InfoWars. They try to stop Alex Jones. And then they say they're fair and neutral. No, they're not. Not only are they not fair and neutral and totally biased, they're also liars, okay? And that's what we're dealing with. And still, I've got four explosions in Austin, Texas. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Again, I'm going to try to cover all of the news I can in the first hour before Roger Stone hosts the second hour with guests Jacob Engels and Jerome Corsi, and then we take your phone calls in the third hour. I want to get to some of these clips about the McCabe firing just to show you how liberals and the left try to twist this, even though they don't even have the grip to twist it with. They don't even have a grip on the actual situation, so they can't really twist it. They just kind of loosely make things up. But I just want to say, I was kind of reading more into this Facebook privacy violation deal and then this Cambridge Analytica, I don't know what you call it, secret audio videotape that they got. They got Project Veritas, essentially, by a Channel 4 news crew. I'm not sure where that locally is based out of. But reading further into this, I'm actually starting to smell a rat. Because all these stories are linking this to President Trump. And whenever you see something like that, wherever you have a story like this, where the story isn't the story, they make the story about how it links to President Trump. That's how this is going to go. I'm predicting that that is the next corner of this deal. Because all these stories talk about how Facebook was sharing information with the Trump campaign illegally. Cambridge Analytica was working with the Trump campaign and blackmailing and this and that. So that's what they're going to do with this. I'm predicting this now. Now, I'm not trying to stand up for any wrongdoing here, whether it have been by Facebook or Cambridge Analytica. What I'm saying is they're presenting this as the story because they know it actually can stand on its own accord with Facebook breaking privacy violations and Cambridge Analytica probably doing, you know, whatever it is they admit in this video, unless you think that was staged. But what they're going to do is they're going to use that because it has legs, and then they're going to change the finish line to blame it on Trump. So right now they have the finish line there, and they're like, oh, we're going to get Facebook. Oh, we're going to get Cambridge Analytica. And then right in the middle of the race, they're going to change the finish line, and it's going to be President Trump and his campaign team. I can already see this in the tea leaves, folks. So that's what's going to happen with this deal. So then they're going to say that Trump was using Facebook. He was using Russians. Facebook was actually working for Trump. I mean, oh my God, Cambridge Analytica was working for Trump. That's where they're going to go with this next. That's what's next. In fact, that might be what they report tonight on CNN. But let's get to some of these video clips. So again, McCabe gets fired. Trump hits out at McCabe on Twitter, talks about how the Russian collusion special counsel led by Mueller is a witch hunt. But even little Adam Schiff admits that the firing of McCabe was probably justified.
You know, his firing may be justified. There's no way for us to know at this point. But even though it may have been justified, it can also be tainted. And I think the president's badgering of the attorney general, his urging that he be fired before his pension could vest, and the fact that McCabe and
hold on, pause it right there. Pause it right there. This guy is such a little, oh my, what a weasel. Oh, maybe it was justified. Maybe. But it's tainted. Okay. What do you mean by that, Mr. Schiff?
Well, you know, he's just trying to block him from getting his pension.
Well, if the firing was justified, then why would you want him to get the pension? You see, he's so stupid, he can't even think past one layer. I mean, and this is an average liberal right now. Let's go back to Pencil Neck.
Of the James Comey associates, his general counsel, Baker, his chief of staff, Wright Bickey, who corroborate James Comey on the issue of potential obstruction of justice. Every one of them has been targeted by the administration, by the Republicans in Congress. And is this because they corroborate James Comey? That's a question we also have to answer.
Okay. So, again, corroborate James Comey. He didn't corroborate himself. So here's Comey contradicting himself under oath. And so Schiff just says, well, forget whether Comey can corroborate his own story. Let's ask some Democrats if they can corroborate it for him. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, but even Schiff, though, admits that firing McCabe was probably justified, but he should still deserve his pension. You know, I mean, come on, it's tainted. It's tainted. Now let's go to clip 6 where Trey Gowdy is talking about the credibility of McCabe.
Oh, Andy McCabe has undercut his credibility all by himself. He didn't need any help doing that. And I find it richly ironic that he is lamenting that those are attacking the FBI when he himself does the exact same thing. It was the FBI who said he made an unauthorized disclosure and then lied about it. That wasn't President Trump. It wasn't me. It wasn't the crazy House Republicans. It was his own fellow FBI agents that said he leaked and then lied about it. So if he's got credibility issues, he needs to look no further than himself.
All right, so there you have Democrats and Republicans both agreeing that McCabe probably deserved to be fired, and he did undercut himself. But you know what? I've got a message for McCabe. If McCabe wants to be a hero and not a nothing, not a loser, as his legacy will be given the current status, he just simply needs to sing. Sing like a canary, talk about the corruption at the FBI, talk about Comey's lies, and talk about how everybody colluded to try to stop Trump from getting into office, illegally spied on him, and everything was Hillary Clinton's orders. Now, will McCabe do that, or is he too scared of Hillary Clinton? I don't know. But now, let's look at how mainstream media loves to spin these things and then report fake news on these issues.
What I would say is this. I think the fact that...
Here's Chuck Turd from Meet the Press.
...made the McCabe firing happen... I mean, it is an extraordinary, if you look, go back 18 months, the systemic campaign against McCabe to delegitimize
campaign
him,
against
to raise
McCabe.
About him, to a deputy FBI director that nobody had ever heard of, and the president using his bully.
See, pause it right there. See, pause it right there. See, here's Chuck Turd. Oh, you know, it's not McCabe's fault. It's not McCabe's actions. It's not what McCabe did. This is Trump spinning it. This is Trump's campaign. I mean, literally, these people are so deranged, everything is Trump's fault. Like, Chuck Turd sharts on air and blames Trump. Like, oh my gosh, I mean, oh, what did Trump do? What did he slip in my water? How did this happen? Dude, Trump is not behind every corner. Donald Trump lives rent-free in these people's minds all day long. All day long. They spill their coffee. They spill their milk. They're late for work. Their car breaks down. It must have been Trump. Let's go back to Chuck Turd.
The president using his bully pulpit to do that. He gets Sessions.
Again, it's all Trump.
Who some believe is firing McCabe quickly in order to save his own job, which
quickly
would preserve the Mueller probe. I think the reaction by the president's attorney that this McCabe firing means time for the probe to end, I think that's most significant because I think it signals this president is no longer cooperating with Mueller. It's time for war. And I think this thing's about to come to a head, and it's either going to go radically one way.
You know what? I would break that down, but it's so nonsensical and ignorant, it's not even worth my energy. It's not even worth my brain cells. So there's Chuck Turd.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Throw away your television.
Where to go from here? Four explosions in Austin, Texas this month. No reason to think they're going to stop at this rate. You had a coffee shop in California that refuses to serve police officers. Now, see, when I hear stories like this, my mind always goes to the exact same place. And I want other people to start channeling this thought wave. What somebody should have done, an African-American police officer should have walked into that coffee shop and tried to get coffee and watched them reject him. Oh, yeah. Now, you tell me how you think that would have gone. It doesn't bode well for the coffee shop either way, does it? Either they have to refuse a black man service and they're racist, or they have to refuse an officer service and they're a-holes. But there's another wrinkle to that. Let's say, my guess is they would serve the black police officer if he went in there. And I'd love to see one do that. go buy a cup of coffee. See if they'll serve you. They refuse to serve police officers. Well, let's see if that's true. Okay, then they serve the black officer some coffee. And then what happens if a white officer approaches the coffee shop and then tries to get some coffee? Something tells me that situation might go differently. So you see, it's not that hard to pin a liberal down. It's not that hard to back a liberal into a corner of their own creation. These people put themselves into a box. All we have to do is force them into the corner of their box and defeat them. It's really not that complicated. But here's how it went down. Instead, hey guys, just roll some of the B-roll from clip 12. Now, this is Will Johnson. This is a great American patriot. And he is catty corner to the coffee shop in California that will not serve police officers. And there's multiple videos of this online, and you can find this. And what happens is, so he's standing on the other side of the street with some other patriots, and they're simply doing a flag wave. And some of them have an American flag, some of them have a Blue Lives Matter flag, but they're doing a flag wave. They're all patriots. They're there to stand up for police officers, stand up for America. And so here again, this is Will Johnson reporting. So they're on the other side of the street. They're waving flags. They're standing up for the police. And a bunch of radical commies show up. And so now what you have is a scene. Hey, can you guys scroll down? Let me look at that picture real quick on that coffee shop. Actually, I kind of want to. That's interesting. That art looks a lot like the cat cafe here in Austin, Texas, that the commies locked a bunch of cats inside of. Yeah, that's what they did. They're crazy. And then they were protesting a cat cafe. There's so many weird angles to that. I don't even want to go down that. But getting back to the original story. So then a bunch of commies show up and there's like 20 to 30 commies. Yeah, get this B-roll. This is the key B-roll right here. So you can see there's about 20 to 30 commies that show up. And now they're shouting down the flag wavers and standing up for the coffee shop that refuses to serve police officers. So Will Johnson and a couple other patriots are out there, and there are a couple videos of this. Well, it doesn't take long for the radical commies to get violent. And then they start attacking Will Johnson. They attack other reporters that are there. They're pepper spraying. And it really just gets crazy. And then the police come. And this is where it gets even wilder. So now it starts with a coffee shop that refuses to serve police officers. Then B, you have patriots and protesters outside just saying, hey, look, this coffee shop doesn't support police. You should not support them. Then a bunch of radical commies stand up for the coffee shop that won't support the police. So then the police have to show up and protect the coffee shop from the protesters and the commies that are there because the coffee shop won't serve the police. You can't, I mean, I'm telling you, I couldn't make this stuff up if I wanted to. And so that's what happens. And then Will Johnson gets attacked. They attacked females. They attacked minorities. They attacked reporters. And these are the violent radical commies that hate America. And it all starts because a coffee shop refuses to serve police officers. Now, I seem to recall a certain bakery that wouldn't serve a certain type of people. And that got turned into a national case. That got turned into a national story. So how come a bakery that by their rights refused to serve people and make them a cake, they didn't feel comfortable with it, that becomes a national case, that becomes a national story. In California, a coffee shop refuses to serve police, doesn't get national attention, no national outrage, no story. Then the protesters show up to simply say, we can't believe you won't serve police officers. We stand with police. Violent radical commies show up to stand with the coffee shop, and then the police have to protect the whole thing from getting violent. But again, why is it okay for someone to not, to refuse someone's service to make a cake, but it is okay for someone to refuse service to a police officer? And here's the thing. It wasn't about them being homosexual. The bakery would have made the cake for them if the actual art on the cake wasn't something they didn't feel uncomfortable with. If the cake simply would have said happy birthday or congratulations or something, they would have made the cake. It was about what they wanted on the cake. But if you're a police officer and you want to go to an Oakland coffee shop, they refuse to serve you because you're a police officer. So you know what? I do this challenge. I challenge the good men and women in law enforcement out there in Oakland to do a social experiment at that coffee shop. Send in a black person, send in a black man, see if that person gets served coffee. If not, call them racists. Then send in a white man, see if the white man gets served coffee. If you serve the black man coffee and not the white man coffee again, they're racist. Then send a woman in there. Send a woman officer in there. See if they'll serve her. If not, they're misogynist. They must hate women. They must be sexist. And then, kind of like an added element, you send in an off-duty officer and have them recording and have the officer engage in conversation and get them to say what they really feel about police officer to a police officer. Then the police officer reveals himself and then see what they say. This is how you entrap liberals, folks. This is how you expose liberals. It's really not that hard. It's really not that hard. Look, I'm telling you. Liberals put themselves in a box. They all do the same thing. They all put themselves in a box. All you have to do is identify the four corners and put them in a corner. It's very simple with this one. You simply try to go in as a police officer and either watch them refuse you service as any person and then say they're X, Y, or Z because that's what they do. And then they have to defend themselves against the same type of attacks they're waging on everyone else. So that's how you beat that deal. So there you go, folks. Crazy, crazy communist, liberal, Antifa. I mean, it's just, and these are the people we deal with. And now you got four bombings in Austin, Texas. Is it really that strange that we might think that this is some sort of radicalized member of Antifa or some radical liberal? Is it really that strange? And so now you have the police chief saying, if you see any strange object or any suspicious item at all, don't go near it. You know, just call the authorities immediately and report the situation. So now in Austin, Texas, I mean, how can I even say that? Everything is a suspicious item. You know how many homeless people just roam around and just leave bags and stuff? And now this is the reality of the situation. So where do we go to next? Well, we got plenty of news I got to get to on the other side, so don't go anywhere. This is the War Room, and then we're joined by Roger Stone. All right, we're about to wrap up the first hour here of the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're joined by my co-host, Roger Stone, in the next hour. But I want to just do a quick news blitz here before we roll on with the rest of the show. And I do want to take your calls in the third hour. I haven't taken many calls too often recently, given all the breaking news. You know, you've got Democrats in a total identity crisis right now because they realize how toxic Hillary Clinton is, how toxic Nancy Pelosi is, and they want to kind of put them out to pasture, but they're so attached at the hip to those two, they really don't know how to do it because they realize if they take them out to pasture, they're kind of, you know, going out to pasture with them. So they kind of have this identity crisis and they really don't know how to solve it. Meanwhile, you've got Trump hitting back against the deep state on Twitter, tweeting out against Mueller, against Comey, against McCabe in the light of his firing. So you've got all that going on. Yeah, Trump calling out Comey for lying under oath. I mean, it's just, you know, you can go play the clips, folks. I mean, it's just a joke. This isn't a debate. Putin says he will engage with the West after a record vote win. The War Room Show poll of the day on Twitter, at War Room Show on Twitter. We asked our audience, do you think Putin won fair and square or was the election rigged? Last I checked, we were about 1,000 votes in, and our audience, by a narrow margin, thinks that Putin won it fair and square. Others obviously thinking that it was a rigged victory. Oh, the tables have turned now. Wow. Now the tables have turned And our audience now, how many is that? About 1,800 votes actually now believes that the victory was rigged. So that was about a total flip from where I saw it about an hour ago when we were about 1,000 votes in. I personally think that Putin won fair and square. You can look at the, look, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I trust Russian government or trust Putin or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just going with the gut and I'm going with how everything's looks and feels right now. Did Putin just stage this whole Russian oversight thing of the elections where they were being looked at and watched very carefully? Was that a stage? Was it real? I don't know. I don't think it matters. Putin won fair and square. That's what I believe. I'm not saying I trust the Russians. I'm not saying I trust Putin. I'm not saying I trust that the elections were fair. I'm saying the people of Russia love Putin. They show up for Putin. They have always showed up for Putin. They line the streets when Putin comes to town, just like Trump. So why would I be shocked when Putin wins? Like, why would I be shocked when Trump wins? Oh, wow. Trump shocks the world and wins, even though he had about, I don't know, 10,000 times the amount of audience at his campaign rallies as Hillary Clinton. Wow, what a shocker. That's like a team. That's like a basketball team. Every time they go to an away arena, sells out the stadium. Every time, sells out, sells out, sells out. And then there's this other team that nobody wants to go see, can't even sell out their home arena. And then they get to a neutral court, and everybody's there for one team. And it's like, whoa, why is everybody there for that team? I'm shocked. It's like, really, you're shocked? That's just empirical evidence that that would happen. Okay, but I'm getting off on a jack. Trump to hire lawyer who has pushed theory that Justice Department framed the president. Oh, I love this from the New York Times. Now, see, look, Roger Stone stands up for Maggie Haberman, and I understand that. If they're friends, I can respect that. But this is the type of fake news, I'm sorry, Roger, that she peddles. Look at the theory that the Justice Department framed the president. The theory. Ladies and gentlemen, the entire Trump-Russian collusion narrative had its basis with a dossier that was made up. Made up. And they just found out that the judge that signed off on that Pfizer warrant has some skeletons in his closet. Oh, and it turns out they were all against Trump. Oh, and it turns out that they knew that the fake dossier was how they got the FISA warrant. They all knew. They all knew. But then the New York Times says it's just a theory. No, it's a fact. This is actually good news. So Trump is now hiring the longtime Washington lawyer Joseph DeGenova. And he's commonly on Fox News as well. He has pushed the theory that the Justice Department framed the president. No, I'm glad that he's pushing that theory because they did. They made up a dossier. They used it to get a FISA warrant. And then they pushed a whole fake narrative with their silly little special counsel that Trump colluded with Russia. None of it happened. Now you've got the news. Facebook may have violated FTC privacy laws or a deal. Facebook stock is plunging. And an ex-Obama campaign director says that Facebook was on their side. Now you've got the Cambridge Analytica thing caught in undercover video admitting that they entrap politicians, use blackmail, etc. So they're going to get people to report on that, and then they're going to twist it and say that it's Trump's fault again. I'm seeing the tea leaves on that deal. Speaking of social media, police are asking Google to provide user data for all people near crime. Now, this is actually a story from Raleigh, North Carolina. And they're asking for user data from anyone within a 17-acre area. Now, this is an interesting question. So we know that all this technology exists. We know they can spy, track, have all the data, okay, in real time. They've got it. So part of me says, you know, if we already have this, why not actually use it for some good? Now, are they violating the Fourth Amendment? Most likely, that is the case. But if we already have this net, this surveillance net out there, why don't we actually use it for some good, like finding out who this damn bomber in Austin, Texas is? Now, maybe they can't do that with this technology. But this is taking a step in that direction. Police are asking Google to provide user data for all people near crime. So a slippery slope there. You know, I think that's a good question we need to have right now in our society. Do we want that? Do we not want that? Is it helpful? Is it a slippery slope? Is it legal? China to ban citizens with bad social credit ratings from taking flights or using trains for up to a year. Now, again, everybody who watches Black Mirror knows about the social score episode, and it's actually a very good depiction of how this would go or how this could go. And it sucks. And it's miserable, and it's pathetic. And that's really what they want you to just live your life synonymously through your social media so that you're not a real human anymore. And it's not like InfoWars has been reporting on that for years either. Nope. Oh, wait, yes. Los Alamitos might challenge California over state sanctuary law. Uh-oh. More resistance in California from the criminal activity of the sanctuary cities. Boy, California is just an absolute nightmare. Fearing deportation under Trump, these immigrants prepare to become untraceable. Oh, so you're telling me they want to fall off the grid and hide? Let's see, who does that? Oh, yeah, criminals and lawbreakers. Okay. Immigration advocates warn ICE is retaliating for activism. I just love this headline. Let me tell you, this headline from NPR really, really tickles me. Here it is. Immigration advocates warn ICE is retaliating for activism. Now you can throw the ACLU in there as the immigration advocates. But think about what they're saying here. Think about this. Retaliating for activism. Activism. So you're telling me if 100 illegal aliens, undocumented immigrants, non-citizens are in the streets marching, saying, my country, I'm not going anywhere, and ICE's job is to detain those people and make sure they're not here illegally and make sure they're not violent and lawbreakers, and they're saying that's a retaliation? No, that's called doing their job. Wow. That's like a police officer walks down the streets and sees a mugger mug some woman and steal her purse and run away. And then the police officer chases the mugger down and gets the purse back and returns it. And then mugger advocates warn police respond to activism. Oh, it was just activism for them to grab that purse. I mean, it's all absurd. And then meanwhile, The Vogue publishes a puff piece on Kamala Harris today. You know what? This is so rich. I'm going to have to get into this and just have some fun with that. Folks, we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com. I've been bad. I've been a bad host here. I haven't even plugged once. I've been on air for an hour. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this is amazing because it's so genius, yet so basic what we do at InfoWarsStore.com. We take good products and we sell them to you at the best price. Take colloidal silver, for example. We've got colloidal silver at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, that's the new Super Blue Silver spray, but this is my point. So we've got the colloidal silver, which is an amazing product, and I think the best use for it that people experience is when you have a sore throat or something coming on, a cough coming on, you take the colloidal silver, you swallow it, and it solves your sore throat. It solves everything, which is the best thing you can take for a sore throat. Now we've got a new way to get iodine-infused silver with the spray. So you can now spray it. You can spray it topically. I mean, it's ingenious to take a simple product like silver and then bring it to you in innovative ways, and it's all available at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone.
Welcome back to the War Room. Roger Stone joins me in just 5 minutes to break down the latest news that's on his radar. But I was explaining in the segment before how the Democrats have an identity crisis right now. And again, you've got the victorious Democrat in the Pennsylvania special election that says Nancy Pelosi needs to go. Now you've got Dick Durbin going on Fox News. Even Dick Durbin now is slamming Hillary Clinton. This is another example of the Democrats going through identity crisis.
Senator, is that helpful to Democrats in 2018 to have Hillary Clinton dismissing the 60 million plus voters who supported and elected Donald Trump, dismissed, some could say even condemned, as racists and misogynists?
No, it's not helpful at all. And in fact, my friend Hillary Clinton is wrong. 30% of the people who voted for Donald Trump had voted for President Obama.
Ouch.
Why? The same people who looked for change with President Obama thought there wasn't enough as far as their personal lives were concerned, and they supported Donald Trump. That is a reality that Democrats acknowledge. That's why we are focusing on issues to address this concern.
Hold on. Pause it right there. Whoa. Look, you're good. Just leave it right there. Okay. First of all, I will give Dick Durbin credit here. This is the smartest you've ever sounded in your whole life. So I give you credit. But to say that Democrats have accepted the fact that 40% of whatever the exact stat was, basically the same people that voted for Obama voted for Trump, Democrats haven't accepted that. I wish they would accept that. I wish their street minions would accept that. I wish the average liberal on the street would accept that. But they haven't accepted that. They still think it was Russia. So I wish they would accept the fact that the people that voted for Obama voted for Trump. They won't accept that. So I give Dick Durbin credit for saying it like it is, but unfortunately you're wrong because they aren't accepting that. Now let's go back.
That many working families face. I can tell you a tax bill that gave tax breaks to the wealthiest people in America under the Republicans and President
gave
Trump
tax breaks
is
to everyone.
Not responsive to that concern.
Heidi Heitkamp, one of your...
See, all right, that's enough of that. So, see, but that's what I'm saying. It gives tax breaks to the richest. Well, it does. It gave tax breaks to the poorest, too. Well, yeah, but the rich benefit the most. Well, yeah, the rich pay the most. I mean, it's like debating with these people is like talking yourself in a circle. It gets redundant. But you know what? Look, I have been waiting on this stack of news about Kamala Harris for a while. And today's still not the day. I just want to remind the audience that it's out there because I think that they might actually try to run this woman. They might. Oh, please, God. Give me a Kamala Harris-Trump debate. I mean, if you thought Clinton-Trump was entertaining, folks, wait till you get a bumbling fool like Kamala Harris up there. So Vogue writes the most puff piece in the history of puff pieces on Kamala Harris that gets published today. Oh, Abby Aguirre from Vogue, you really outdid yourself. Kamala Harris is dreaming big. Oh, but don't worry. Her dreams will be crushed by this stack of news right here, where even CNN is calling her out for her corruption. But I'm just going to leave that in the bag until they actually try to run her with instead of getting redundant. But let me just read this to you, because this is just... It's a cold January night in D.C., and I'm at the Hart Senate office building, trailing U.S. Senator Kamala Harris into a conference room. Inside, a group of young Latino congressional staffers have gathered to meet the Democrat star from California. When she enters, flanked by aides and dressed in a navy suit, matching ruffled blouse, black pearls, and stilettos that give her petite 5'4" frame a few extra inches of height, the staffers immediately rise from their chairs. Harris has an air of celebrity that, under normal circumstances, a freshman senator wouldn't have had time to acquire. But this year has been anything but normal. She greets the 20-somethings as though they're relatives at a family reunion. Hi, everybody. Hi, guys. Then she notices that one of the staffers is still seated, and her voice drops a full octave. Stand up, man. And that is the Democrat nominee for president, Kamala Harris, a star of the Democrat Party, an heir of celebrity.
Welcome back. You're at Freedom Command Central. Yes, it's the War Room with your co-hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. Owen, there was an extraordinary poll that came out today, conducted by Tony Fabrizio, who was Donald Trump's pollster during the presidential campaign. And this poll showed the danger of Republicans opposing medicinal marijuana. It showed that the support for the concept of legalized medicinal marijuana at the state level to be extraordinarily strong, particularly among Trump Republicans. Some 68% of Republicans favored medicinal marijuana. Looking at the individual Senate swing states and in the most competitive congressional districts in the country, that number was in the mid-70s. Very clearly, Jeff Sessions has a death wish for this president. Now, President Donald Trump made it very clear that he wanted this decision left to the states. While he is not himself a supporter of cannabis, he believes the people should decide. So in the campaign, he essentially promised millions of Americans that they would not have obstacles to their access to legalized medicinal cannabis, now available in 29 states on its way to 35. This, I think, is a sleeper issue that could hurt the president very badly among younger voters, libertarian voters, and others who have seen cannabis as the logical and safer substitute for opioids. This is, I think, an important subculture issue, and Jeff Sessions' position is completely out to lunch.
Well, this is an issue, Roger, I think Trump can have massive gains on. And this is just, you know, I don't want this to see. The problem is they want to lump this in to the overall drug conversation. And I really don't think that's a fair thing to do. And look, I'll just tell you, I mean, I don't know if you saw the video from South by Southwest where I was live on the streets of South by Southwest where marijuana use was pretty much rampant. I mean, we literally couldn't turn a corner without seeing somebody using marijuana. And I really didn't care. It didn't bother me. Nobody on the street seemed to mind. It was about two blocks away from the police officer station. They didn't seem to care either. And I think that because of beyond just medical marijuana, Roger, I'm going to go down another bridge here. I really think that just because marijuana has become, I don't want to say polarized, but an issue where so many states are making it legal just to use recreationally, and then there's so many recreational users throughout the United States that aren't even politically engaged at all. They just worry about themselves. Trump could all of a sudden have a massive wave of support if he just came in and said, hey, look, we're going to do this. We're going to get the federal government off of marijuana, whatever it is, whether medical or illegal or anything. We're done dealing with marijuana. The federal government is only going to focus on the opioid epidemic, heroin and other dangerous drugs like that. And we're just going to leave marijuana alone. People can grow it in their backyard. People probably do. People are using it anyway. And you know what? Overall, it's probably not the biggest problem that we have right now. I really think he could get a wave of support just from the average marijuana user out there that's not politically involved, just to say, wow, finally someone did this for me. I mean, it sounds kind of far-fetched, Roger, but I really think that that could be something that swings a lot of people.
Well, I think, Owen, you may underestimate the medicinal attributes of this amazing plant. I mean, the Israelis are formally using it in their military to treat PTSD based on the millions of dollars worth of studies they've done into the efficacy of cannabis. So I still think that we are in this catch-22 where Congress doesn't want to legalize cannabis because there's not enough research, and they won't spend the money for for scientific research because it's not legal. It really is, I think, Big Pharma driving this train to a certain extent and the prison industrial complex. But you're absolutely right. This was a strong issue for Trump. His position was further to the left than Hillary Clinton, who didn't favor the legalization of medicinal marijuana. I think it was a masterstroke. We're going to be watching this issue very carefully.
Well, keep in mind, Roger, this is a president that did not take funding from big pharmaceutical companies that came out today and delivered an epic speech attacking the epidemic that is pharmaceutical opioids and says he wants to cut prescription of those opioids by a third. Also wants to have it a states' rights issue of medical marijuana, even pro-medical marijuana. I mean, to me, this has big pharmaceuticals shaking right now. I mean, big pharma has to be shaking right now.
Well, also in the news today in Washington, the announcement that the president has retained Joseph E. DeGeneva, a former U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, to add to his legal team fighting Robert Mueller's ongoing and increasingly invasive investigation. Now, I know Joe DeGeneva extremely well. He was a fixture in Washington. This is the first time, with the exception of Jay Sekulow, who I have a very high regard for, that the president has hired a lawyer who understands that this is not only a legal proceeding, but it's also a political proceeding. In fact, it may be more of a political proceeding than it is a legal proceeding. DeGeneva is crafty. He is combative. He's smart as hell, and he knows the law. This was an excellent move by President Trump.
Now, Roger, you're friends with Joe. Are you going to get into his ear about his attire? I have a feeling you might want to spruce up his outfits.
Well, you know, he could use a little work in that regard. But at this point, I'm just delighted that he's on the president's team. I really believe the president's lawyers have lulled him into a false sense of confidence. As we know, they told him that Mueller's Russian investigation would be done by Thanksgiving. And then it was Christmas. And then it was the first of the year. Now it's April 1st, and the barbarians are at the gate. We know from the media this week that Special Counselor Mueller has subpoenaed obtained the records of the Trump Organization. It's hard for me to understand how a real estate transaction that Donald Trump did 15 years ago or 20 years before he ran for president has any relevance. Did he sell apartments to wealthy Russians? Yes. Did they overpay for them? Yes. Did he also sell them to wealthy Arabs, wealthy Asians, wealthy Americans? Yes. I'm not seeing the point here. This idea that Trump's real estate empire was fueled on Russian loans is fake news.
Well, you already said what's behind it, Roger, and I actually hadn't heard anyone put it so coherently. This isn't a legal case. This is a political case. This is a 100% regime change operation. They don't want the Trump regime. They don't like the Trump regime. They did everything they could to try to stop there from ever being a Trump regime. They failed, and so now they're turning back around and trying to install the regime change. But, you know, it's amazing, Roger, as we sit here and we think about all the hatred that they have for Trump. I mean, look at how Hillary Clinton's been drugged through the mud. Look at how she literally can't climb stairs. She's unhealthy. The Democrats don't want her. Nobody wants her. And yet this was still the alternative. So it's like here they are now admitting how dumpy and bad Hillary Clinton would have been. And Trump saved us from that. Yet they still can't accept Trump for what he is. I mean, that really shows you how delusional they are.
Well, yesterday I spoke to the Queens Village Republican Club Lincoln Day dinner. It was an extraordinarily nice affair, an enormous crowd, really a good time, a lot of great people, a lot of great patriots, and a lot of Alex Jones and InfoWars fans. It's really extraordinary. But Frank Gaffney, a former deputy secretary of defense, was on the program with me, and he made an excellent point. This is the first time in American history where the people who lost the election refused to accept the result. We were unhappy about the election of Obama, but we accepted the result. I think all Americans, myself, my wife included, wanted President Obama to succeed. We wanted him to bring hope and change. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But we never said that he should be removed from office because he won the election. Doug? Welcome back. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone, and you're on The War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. Joining us now is the publisher of the Central Florida Post, Jacob Engels. You may have seen Jacob last week on CNN's panel on gun control, where he stood up for the Second Amendment to the consternation of the CNN screeners. But Jacob has an incredible story breaking today in the Central Florida Post. Jacob, lay it on us.
Sure. It's great to be back on the program. And we have some very, very important news coming out of Florida governor's race. Ron DeSantis, a congressman who is campaigning now for governor of Florida, has tried to maintain that he is the only pro-Trump candidate, that he identifies with the Make America Great Again agenda. We've unearthed a vote he cast in 2014 where he literally stood up in support for food stamps for illegal immigrants, murderers, college students who are lying about it, violent sex offenders. It really is a slap in the face to Donald Trump's agenda of putting Americans first, securing our borders, and reorganizing this nation so that we care about our fellow Americans before we focus on other people.
You know, I saw a story in Politico, I think it was the day before yesterday, that reported that DeSantis, while a member of Congress, moved into the posh, luxury, Oceanside condominium owned by two defense contractors who had given $70,000 total to his campaigns and who spend $700,000 a year lobbying Ron and his friends in Congress. For a guy who says he wants to clean up the swamp, he seems to spend an awful lot of time with swamp creatures. If you look at the financing of his congressional campaigns, it's mostly defense contractors, lawyers, and lobbyists. I'm also reminded that during the campaign, when DeSantis was asked by a mainstream media reporter whether he thought the president was mentally stable, he declined to answer. So the new posturing here of DeSantis as a Trumpite, when DeSantis's endorsement of Donald Trump after the Republican National Convention was both late and tepid, is something to see. But then, I'm sure you saw this, Jacob, I noticed that Donald Trump Jr. Took the Florida Agriculture Commissioner, Adam Putnam, another Republican candidate for governor, as his guest to Mar-a-Lago. So one has to ask, when the president tweeted about DeSantis, was that an endorsement or was it just warm words of encouragement?
I think they were warm words of encouragement. And that's the great thing about our president, is he is going to encourage everyone who's going to take a shot at running for office that says that they're going to stand up to the status quo and stand up to the deep state. But I fear that Mr. DeSantis misled in some ways the president on his true stances and his connections to the military-industrial complex, which you just brought up about him utilizing a luxury beachfront condo that was given to him by a top campaign donor for rent. It just brings into question, how can he stand for the president of the United States against the deep state enablers and deep state apparatchiks who are undermining this president at every turn, if he's literally in league with them? It makes no sense.
Well, we do know that when DeSantis got on Air Force One, flying to Florida with the president, he was initially uncommitted on the tax bill. By the time Air Force One landed in Jacksonville, well, the president had DeSantis's vote, and DeSantis had his now famous iconic tweet, which really did roil the waters in Florida politics. DeSantis has made extraordinary gains in the governor's race. He appears to me to be catching up with Putnam, who I think would be considered the front runner. Richard Corcoran, the speaker, was scheduled to be with us on the Alex Jones show the day of the Parkland shootings, and we have rescheduled that for, I think, next week. So this is a race that has to be watched very carefully. Florida is a crucial state in the president's reelection strategy. It's almost impossible to come up with a strategy by which Trump gets reelected without carrying Florida. So the governor's race will be extraordinarily important. Rick Scott, the currently term-limited governor, is widely expected to run for the U.S. Senate against, what's his name, Jacob?
No.
The incumbent, let's see, what's his name? Oh, yes, Bill Nelson. He's done such a bang-up job, I can't even remember his name. This guy is so boring, he dyes his Easter eggs white. If you saw his performance on the CNN gun control extravaganza, the man's had more plastic surgery than Hillary Clinton. This is a phenomenon we see in Washington again and again, where elected public officials stay too long, stay beyond the time that they can be productive. Bill Nelson served his country in the military. He was an astronaut. He served in state office. It's time for Mr. Nelson to move along. And whether Rick Scott can beat him or not really depends a lot on the candidate that is fielded by the state Libertarian Party. You see, in Florida, the Libertarians have permanent ballot access. And a strong candidate who polls 5, 6% of the vote could doom the governor's chances.
Absolutely. And I think with Bill Nelson, one thing that we have to realize, the point that you just made, too often Washington becomes the old folk home for out of touch, brain dead politicians who are too old and should be instead at home with their grandchildren or on the golf course. But yet they stay in Washington and punish us with their stupidity.
Yeah, it is quite extraordinary. All right, Jacob Engels from the Central Florida Post with breaking news regarding Congressman Ron DeSantis in the Florida governor's race. Folks, if you like Jacob Engels and the stories he brings you from the Central Florida Post, if you like the War Room, if you like the job we are doing here to tell you the alternative news, the real news, the stuff they won't tell you on CNN, well, then I need you to go to the InfoWars store now and scaff up on the extraordinary specials we have on some of our very most popular products. As you've heard me say it before, we don't have any wealthy billionaire right-wing fat cats propping up InfoWars. We can only depend on the rank-and-file InfoWarriors to support us. And whether it is the extraordinary products like BrainForce Plus, which I have talked ad nauseum about on this show, or the super blue fluoride range of oral products, or whether it is Immune Wall, which I have really taken a liking to. All of these extraordinary products are on special now. They have thousands of satisfied testimonials. They are the very best of the genre. When you buy at the InfoWars store, you help us, you help yourself, you help the fight for the First Amendment and freedom of the press. Please go to the InfoWars store now and help us. We need your help.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
That's right. You're at Infowars, and it's the War Room with your co-host, Roger Stone. And in the co-pilot's chair, my colleague, Owen Schroyer. Joining us now is the hardest working investigative reporter in America today, Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's written a number of New York Times bestsellers and is one of the most intrepid, dogged investigative reporters in America. And it happens also, fortunately, to be the Washington Bureau Chief of InfoWars, joins us now. Dr. Corsi, welcome to the War Room.
Great to be with you, Roger and Owen. Good to see you both. Thank you.
So, you know, you have been a shrewd Washington observer for a long time. Jack Kennedy was a personal friend of yours. Your father was big in the union movement. You knew Dick Nixon in the day. You've seen presidents come and go. You were in Washington during Watergate. Tell us your assessment of the Mueller investigation, the developments over the last 24 to 48 hours, where the president seems to have woken up to what Mr. Mueller's game plan is.
Well, Roger, I think we're seeing a real shift in attitude from President Trump, who's appreciating the conflicts of interest that are in the Mueller investigation, which I think really necessitate that Mueller's investigation be stopped. My new book, Killing the Deep State, which is out, and by the way, InfoWars is going to be carrying the book starting later this week. InfoWars is going to be a good source for getting the word out that, you know, in my book, I think I've got some shocking information that basically Mueller's whole approach was to create a coup d'etat. He was the final act of the Obama-Clinton coup d'etat, which was supposed to deny the presidency to Barack Obama. And as the book points out, I think Donald Trump has got to take some decisive action and is starting to take some decisive action to call this to the attention of the people of the United States and to put an end to this fraudulent investigation that Mueller has calculated will be the end of Trump's presidency one way or the other through finding enough evidence or creating charges, whether there's evidence or not, that would lead to impeachment.
Yeah, it looks to me like the game plan here is for the special counsel to issue his report, perhaps in September, giving the Democrats something to run on in October, since they have no program to revitalize the economy, no program to address the trade deficit, no plan to make our country more secure and safer through immigration reform. They really are running on one concept. We hate Donald Trump. That's their slogan. That's their platform. I honestly think if Republicans run on jobs and prosperity and the Democrats run on impeachment, they will be making an extraordinary mistake, particularly if the president gets a breakthrough in Korea, which I believe is extremely likely.
Well, Donald Trump is doing the right thing in terms of continuing to advance policy and make gains, tax cuts, trade gains. I think his speech today on dealing with big pharmacy and all of this opioids crisis was very effective. But you've got to remember the Democrats are out for blood here. The Democrats really have, as you point out, Roger, zero strategy. And, you know, it was shocking to me in writing this whole Killing the Deep State that the liars, the Democrats, the entrenched political operatives within the CIA, the Department of Justice, and the FBI were willing to lie before Congress, advance this Fusion GPS dossier, which the Department of Justice could never validate or authenticate any of the information in it, and yet they used it to obtain electronic surveillance of the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, and the Trump presidency through at least 6 months of the White House. And as you know, as I point out in the book, the real danger to Donald Trump is that over time, the American people begin to believe this narrative, and the mainstream media is mouthpiecing the narrative every day. Trump has got to continue effectively undermining the credibility of the Department of Justice, a deep state operatives. And I think this whole exposing McCabe for the lying he did and for the leaking that he did and then firing him at the suggestion of the Inspector General, Department of Justice, was a very effective step. Donald Trump's got to continue this to make it clear, you know, Jeff Sessions is investigating. There are criminal investigations ongoing, and more than one person like McCabe have to be exposed. The quicker, the better.
It'll be very interesting to see if Mr. McCabe is, of course, prosecuted. We know that he was forced to resign or resigned because he had no choice. It's also interesting to me that Jeff Sessions seems to be the sticking point on all of this, whether it is the IRS abuses under Barack Obama, whether it is the abuses in the Clinton Foundation, whether it's the formulation of the dossier. It is extraordinary that all bucks seem to stop with Sessions. Now, I know there are some who believe that Jeff Sessions has a secret plan and one day all the president's enemies are going to be swept up and arrested. I wish that were true. I see no evidence of it. Rod Rosenstein was himself one of those who signed off on the use of the dossier as the underlying legal rationale for the wholesale surveillance of the candidate of the Republican Party for president of the United States. Surely that act alone would merit dismissal. The sooner the president does what he did at the State Department, does what I think he's going to do shortly at NSA, clean house. He needs to clean house at the FBI. He needs to clean house at the Justice Department.
I agree, Roger. One of the reasons I wrote this book, Killing the Deep State, was to expose that the smoking gun evidence of this, what I charge as a coup d'etat, to deny Donald Trump the right to be president despite winning the election, it lies at the heart of the FBI. And with McCabe's firing, we're only at the first level. Remember, McCabe was the person who altered Peter Strzok in the FBI, his interview report with General Flynn. Initially, then Comey, head of the FBI, said there was no lying by General Flynn. Suddenly, McCabe and Strzok get together. They alter the 302, which is the report of the interrogation of Flynn, and suddenly Flynn is charged with lying to the FBI. Now, if that isn't, you know, the creation of evidence, and then we find out that Strzok and this Lisa Page exchange text messages where they're cozy with the judge, this Contreras, who is both a FISA court judge and the judge assigned to General Flynn's case, and they're trying to get together with him at a cocktail party to influence him. Now, if this isn't an entire misuse of prosecutorial authority and a complete abuse of the FBI's power, which, you know, I think is shocking and possibly even treasonous because it was in the advancing of a plot to keep Donald Trump from being president or to remove him from the presidency, these kinds of smoking guns within the FBI are really the reason Donald Trump needs to say, I'm cleaning out the FBI now, and have massive firings, which perhaps could start at Jeff Sessions. If Jeff Sessions is not really willing to play the game, Jeff Sessions probably ought to go and let somebody get there as Attorney General who would do the job of cleaning up house.
I really don't understand the attitude of liberals. Liberals have traditionally cared about our civil liberties, but they seem to be missing in action. And the adage that no person is above the law, well, it doesn't appear to be true. We'll be back with Dr. Jerome Corsi on the other side. You're at the War Room.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Welcome back. You're on the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. And joining us is our Washington Bureau Chief, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Corsi, tell us about your new book and how people can get it. I got the copy you sent me, and I must tell you, it's really excellent. I am zipping through it. You really nail the situation in Washington.
Well, thank you, Roger. The book, Killing the Deep State, I make a compelling case that Barack Obama is still the wizard behind the scenes. He's out to destroy Donald Trump, and he has a couple of key operatives within the Justice Department, within the CIA, that are working day and night to destroy President Trump. And I've found that, you know, it's no surprise that just as my book is being released, FBI Director Comey has his book coming out, and the press are all flocking to report his allegations, his lying allegations. I'm sure he's going to make himself the hero of a story in which he'll ignore the fact that he did not and pushed the Hillary Clinton investigation to the point of criminal prosecution. He changed his narrative according to the way that Loretta Lynch at the FBI wanted him to change it, at the Department of Justice wanted him to change the narrative against Hillary to say it was only a matter, not a criminal investigation. So I'm still fighting it. I've been banned by all the major networks. We can't get on ABC, NBC, CBS. The narrative is blocked because I think they're afraid of my book killing the deep state. But I'm very grateful that we have InfoWars and Alex Jones and your show with Owen, because we need to get this word out. The word is that there has been a coup d'etat attempt to remove Donald Trump from the presidency, and Donald Trump needs to fight back in order to save the presidency, and the danger is not yet done. It's only intensifying, I think, as Mueller feels there are threats to remove him from office as special counselor.
Well, perhaps some in the mainstream media remember that it was Dr. Jerry Corsi who almost single-handedly destroyed the candidacy of John Kerry. Big news this past week, that is that the children of John Kerry, a daughter, and the sons of Vice President Joe Biden scored a very rich Chinese investment deal only days after Kerry and Biden visited China. Can you say corruption?
All right. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It was so patently obvious. But, you know, when people read my book, they're going to be surprised at the deep connections in the this Democratic cabal. George Soros, the others, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and even Robert Mueller, who ties into their schemes, having covered up for the Clintons back to Whitewater, the HSBC investigation. I mean, Mueller is part of this deep state cabal, and Barack Obama is the wizard behind the scenes pulling the levers with his house, his mansion over there in D.C., and Valerie Jarrett still trying to undermine the Trump presidency. The killing the deep state is about just that. We've got to root this out, and Donald Trump has got to take decisive action to get these political operatives who are absolutely leftist, New World Order extremists out of the Justice Department, out of the FBI, and out of the CIA and NSA. And Donald Trump's got to act fast, or this deep state cabal will succeed in removing him from office.
Dr. Corsi, what was your opinion of the replacement of Rex Tillerson with Mike Pompeo at State and the elevation of Gina Haspel at the CIA?
Well, I think Tillerson was never on board with the Trump train. Tillerson was always a Exxon type of executive. He was a globalist. He wanted the free trade international agreements, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and he opposed many of the foreign policy initiatives that Donald Trump has been advocating. I think that Pompeo, his coming over to the State Department means that Iran is next, because Tillerson had been supporting this Iran decision that John Kerry made, this negotiation, and Pompeo has been opposed to it. Now, what Donald Trump's got to do to make sure this continues to have a chance to work is take care of the first and most compelling threat, and that is Robert Mueller is still special prosecutor. Barack Obama is still the, you know, the wizard behind the screen pulling the levers, and you've still got a mainstream media that will not cover my book, Killing the Deep State, will advance Comey's lying book about his glory days at the FBI, freeing Hillary Clinton from any fault with her email system. So I think I'm making a compelling case. I think one of the reasons that the deep state and the mainstream media are so afraid of my book is that when people read it, their eyes are going to be open to the danger Donald Trump is still facing and how he's got to fight this propaganda campaign and win it, or the Democrats will continue right up until the midterm elections to press the issue, to indict him just before the midterm elections, get control of the House of Representatives, and begin impeachment hearings.
I have never seen this kind of fake news at this level ever before. The Washington Post writes a story on the basis of two anonymous sources who offer no collaboration, claiming that I told them that I was meeting with Julian Assange in 2016. Easily unprovable based on customs records, my passport record, airline records, surveillance cameras at the Ecuadorian embassy, and so on. But then what happens, like a flock of birds jumping off the telephone wire, you have Salon and Slate and Huffington Post and Mother Jones jumping on board claiming that this is some stunning inconsistency in my testimony. Let me be clear for the 100th time. My testimony before the House Intelligence Committee was completely truthful. My submissions to the committee prove I had no collaboration with WikiLeaks. They are now trying to reinflate this phony Russian collusion, believing that it runs through Assange. Here's how it works. Margaret Carlson wrote it for the Daily Beast. Julian Assange and WikiLeaks gave Roger Stone Hillary Clinton's hacked emails. Stone gave them to Trump and the Trump campaign. That's why the president came out and said, Russia, if you've got these emails, release them. It's a great narrative. The problem is none of it ever really happened. None of it. Extraordinary.
Well, in fact, I can attest. I mean, it is completely outrageous how the mainstream media invents lies like they did in your case, or they're going to do when Comey's book comes out. And they're going to tell the great tale of how James Comey was fired because he was going to go after President Trump. Comey was fired because he was incompetent. He was a operative of the deep state, and he let Hillary Clinton go from obvious crimes. Your case, Roger, I mean, I can attest to it. I was working with you in this period of time, and I wrote the memos for you that showed out of the Panama Papers how, in fact, Podesta and the others were going to be the next targets. Because it was clear that Hillary Clinton and John Podesta were on the take with Russia. They're being paid millions of dollars by Russia.
What's interesting, of course, is my actual tweet, my celebrated, now iconic tweet said, right. The Podesta's time in the barrel, meaning John and Tony, because their business right. was exposed, as you pointed out to me, in the Panama Papers, all from public sources. But that gets truncated to, Roger Stone predicted the hacking of John Podesta's email. No, I didn't. I didn't say anything about John Podesta. I said the Podestas. But that gets shortened in the mainstream media to, quote, Podestas with an apostrophe where no apostrophe existed. Extraordinary. This is how the fake news works.
It is, I think, why at the core I won't get interviews, you know, even with Fox is having it. You know, I want to get the story out of this killing of the deep state, because, you know, I've got 20 pages of footnotes, like all my work. It's very thoroughly footnoted, and it's chapter and verse of how this cabal planned this coup d'etat from in the heart of the Department of Justice and the FBI, with memos now coming out that document this Peter Strozek and Lisa Page and McCabe, Rosenstein. I mean, there's dozens of them. I mean, you know, even this Orr's wife, who was working for Fusion GPS, and the FBI knew they could not validate any of the claims, they still used it to get the FISA court approval for electronic surveillance of Trump's campaign. I mean, killing the deep state, when people read it, they're going to be shocked at how much evidence there is that a coup d'etat was underway, and we probably are going to need military tribunals to bring Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to justice for treason.
All right, that's going to have to wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us on the War Room.
If something happened, if I decided to attack you, it would take the cops 3 to 5 minutes to come here. Probably 10 if the traffic's bad. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?
Stop it!
Yeah. Stop.
That's illegal. This is monument security.
You can't pull a switchblade out on the kid in school. That's insane. No, that's complete.
This person's literally running now.
This guy has a switchblade in the classroom.
What are you going to do now?
Oh my gosh.
Infowars.com/show.
I was caught off guard with that one, folks. Darren McBreen just put together another wonderful intro for us, just to give you some context to the video. I almost want to play it again. So you've got a parent, I'm assuming a father, shows up there at the scene of a PTA meeting, and they're talking about school security. This is actually an amazing concept. So they're talking about school security. He pulls out his knife. It looked like it was a flip knife. People were saying it was a switchblade. It didn't really look like a switchblade to me. It looked like a general flip knife, like a buck or something. Anyway, so he brings his hunting knife out, and he's just holding it in the air. He doesn't even take the blade out or anything. He's just like, yeah. He's like, you want to know how serious school security is? I just came in with this knife. Now, what are you going to do? Because, see, what he does is he puts you in a situation. And it's actually brilliant, this parent. And then, of course, Darren McBreen pipes in the other videos of the people running just to show you the freak out from the knife. And then, of course, the famous video from Mars Attacks there. Classic stuff from Darren. But it's actually genius because look at this. He puts the audience that he has at the PTA meeting in a situation where they feel threatened, and you can hear it. In fact, you know what? Let's roll this again. Let's roll this again. Listen to the guy. He pulls out his blade, but he doesn't pull the blade out. He just pulls the knife out and holds it up. And he's like, look, what are you going to do about this? Listen to how the crowd reacts.
3 to 5 minutes to come here. Probably 10 if the traffic's bad. What are you going to do now?
Ooh.
Stop it.
Ooh. All right, that's fine. I'll pull it down. So he's like, look, takes the cops about, I think he's talking about the cops there. He's like, takes the cops about 3 minutes to arrive if there's a security issue, pulls out his knife, says, what are you going to do now? Now, obviously, the point he's making is, let's say I'm a crazed lunatic and I came here to stab you. And unfortunately, this is how he had to make his case. And you hope that, well, I'll just leave it there. But he puts them in a situation. Now, all of a sudden, they feel threatened. They feel like their personal security is at risk. So what happens? And a little murmur comes over, obviously, probably all the liberals in the crowd. But they don't even understand. He just made the point that proves gun control is not the answer. He pulls out the knife. What are you going to do? Shriek in horror? Good luck. And then, of course, the people in the crowd and the audience that actually understood the message started cheering like, wow, what a great exhibition you just made here to show why gun control is not the answer. Let's say radical knife man shows up at the PTA meeting and starts stabbing people. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And now all of a sudden, everyone in the audience was faced with that thought. What are you going to do? Going to call the police? Go ahead and call the police. Guess what? I got 3 minutes at least till they arrive to stab you. Don't you wish you had a gun? Let's go to that audio one more time. Listen to the crowd freak out at the sight, not even a blade, but a hunting knife.
If something happened, if I decided to attack you, it would take the cops 3 to 5 minutes to come here. Probably 10 if the traffic's bad. What are you going
to
do now?
Pulls out the hunting knife, doesn't show the blade, just to prove a point. And now watch what happens. This person literally runs away. They all freak out, and they want gun control? Ladies and gentlemen, in my hand, I have a firearm. Look at this. You have a madman with a firearm now. Now look, here's the problem. I'm obviously not the problem. This gun is the problem. In fact, just having this gun is starting to, whoa, is this gun controlling my mind? What the? No. I need to stop this gun. I need to control this gun. I will control you. We will control the firearm. You're ours now, gun. Yes. I can feel the control. Yes, gun control now. We have control. I have seized control of the firearm. You are now under my control. Ah, yes, gun control now. Gun control. I now control this inanimate object, and it's not going to shoot anyone. That's gun control. I now have gun control. Thank God for gun control. Now this gun is not going to pop off and start killing us here in the studio. Crew, are you guys all right? All right, the crew is a little on edge. This unhinged gun came into the studio and started making threats. Okay? This gun was unhinged, and it started making threats against my crew. So I said, bring that gun in here. We're going to get it under control. And now gun control is the answer. Of course, this is insane and ridiculous, okay? The only gun control you have is a human controlling a gun. Now, one more time, I want to go to the Darren McBreen clip because this is so brilliant. The man brings a knife to a PTA meeting, doesn't wield the blade, just pulls out his hunting knife and holds it up by saying, look, cops cannot get here quick enough in an emergency. What are you going to do? Now watch, but listen, listen. He pulls it out. Listen to the crowd respond. Ooh. And then watch this. I assume it's a student. I don't know who this girl is. She literally flees the scene. She literally runs away. So roll this special. Look at this one.
Decided to attack you. It would take the cops 3 to 5 minutes to come here. Probably 10 if the traffic's bad. What are you going to do now?
Stop.
That's illegal. This is
my security. That's illegal. No, it's not.
A kid in school. That's insane.
No, it's not.
No, that's
and there she goes. She's literally running. All right. And then McBreen puts the funny effects on there. Our great producer, editor here. And then you can hear some of the crowd applauding. Okay. So again, though, this is why he did this. It's so brilliant. First, he acknowledges, and you can't deny it, it takes the cops, he says, probably at least 3 minutes to get to this scene right now. Okay. What are you going to do now? I have a knife and I want to start stabbing you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to run? You're going to cry gun control? You're going to call the cops? Guess what? None of that's going to protect you. You know what will protect you? A concealed carry and a firearm. Right here. So a brilliant stunt made by that parent at that PTA conference. Now, I'm going to get to these two clips, get to some news, and then open up the phone lines. Guys have clip 10 and 11 ready to go. Real quick, I'll give out the phone number. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Honestly, so many topics to cover. We'll be pretty much open as far as the discussions are today. But I want to just get these clips out of the way before I get into the news and move on to your calls. Now, getting back to the Austin bombing today, things got more interesting today as Police Chief Brian Manley explaining during a press conference that the latest explosion may have been caused by a tripwire.
There have been reports in the media that this device was triggered by a tripwire, and we are here to say that that is a possibility. We understand that those reports are out there, and it is very possible that this device was a device that was activated by someone either handling, kicking, or coming in contact with a tripwire that activated the device. So that changes things in that our safety message to this point has been involving the handling of packages and telling this community, do not handle packages, do not pick up packages, do not disturb packages. We now need the community to have an extra level of vigilance and pay attention to any suspicious device, whether it be a package, a bag, a backpack, anything that looks out of place, and do not approach it.
And repeating that same rhetoric again today during a press conference was Brian Manley. So again, now it's not just suspicious packages or bags or any items or objects you might see. Now you also apparently have to be on the lookout for a tripwire. Man, that is really, really sad. And this is what's going on in the city I live in, Austin, Texas. And again, it gets even more surreal when last night residents were told to shelter in place.
The police department was dispatched at 8:32 tonight, this evening, to a bomb hotshot call in the 4800 block of Dawn Song Drive. We had a report of an explosion, and what we have right now is a scene where it is obvious that an explosion has taken place. We have two victims that have been transported to the hospital with what we understand right now are non-life-threatening injuries. And the important message we want to put out now is the safety alert for this neighborhood, that we want everyone within a half-mile radius of this intersection of Dawn Song Drive and Republic of Texas back here in Travis Country to stay inside your homes until we have had a chance to deem this neighborhood safe.
And okay, so again, that's the police chief, Brian Manley, last night asking residents to shelter in their home and to stay in place. That order was, well, it stayed until the daybreak today, and it actually was a little after daybreak because they wanted to examine the scene with the sunlight to make sure there wasn't any other tripwires or packages or anything like that that needed to be investigated and cleared before people left their house for the day. So you've got all that going on, and why isn't the Democrat Party calling for bomb control? You ever thought about that? Why isn't the Democrat Party calling for bomb control or knife control? I guess they did call for pressure cooker control when those were being used for explosive devices. But see, the answer is obvious, because that's idiotic to call for bomb control. Of course we want bomb control. But you have psychos that want to make bombs and apparently kill people with them. And now they're in Austin, Texas. Calling for bomb control isn't going to stop it, is it? So then why doesn't that same logic apply to guns? Because it's not about logic, it's about a political agenda to take the guns, to dethrone the Republic and take power away from you, the American citizen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take your calls on just the other side, but I need to do some plugging here today because we have not done our due diligence with plugging. Now, we've got a brand new colloidal silver product. So we've already had Silver Bullet, which is amazing. If you get a sore throat, you start to get an achy throat or a cough, there is nothing better, from my experience, that you can use to relieve an achy throat, an itchy throat, a scratchy throat, a sore throat, than colloidal silver. Literally the best, without a doubt. You feel like you got something coming on, like a flu or something. Colloidal silver, knock it down. We've got it at InfoWarsStore.com, one of our top-selling, top-rated products. Now, it has other uses, and that's why this Super Silver Iodine Infusion Immune Gargle, the Super Silver Spray, is so incredible. Because I'm somebody, whenever I get like a scratch or a blister or something, I would always put iodine on there and silver that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. Now we have it in one formula in a spray bottle. So from now on, when I get like blisters and cuts and stuff, I don't have to do like a homemade concoction of the iodine and the silver and then try to rub it on. I can spray it on topically and use it like that. We take basic, well-known, successful products like silver and iodine. We sell them to you at the best price with the best product and the best quality at InfoWarsStore.com. And then you expand us and fund our operation to go to the next level. InfoWarsStore.com, we need your support. Started getting thinking about the ACLU here, and that really starts me up. Man, those people are just anti-American scum. And I've never seen any case of it being the other way. We'll get to that in a second, though. I've got a stack here of liberal nonsense news that I want to clear out before I get to your calls, and I promise I will get to your calls. In fact, I promise to dedicate the last two segments to your calls. But let me get through this stack of news real quick here on the War Room. So Jim Carrey, now look, Jim Carrey, great actor, hilarious. Honestly, I love all of his movies. I mean, The Grinch, Ace Ventura. I mean, the list goes on and on. Dumb and Dumber. I mean, the guy is a comic genius. But it's just sad when you see somebody so deluded with liberal politics that they can't even come off as a informed individual when discussing these things. So Jim Carrey does a portrait of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, tweets it out, says this is the portrait of a so-called Christian whose purpose, whose only purpose in life is to lie for the wicked. Monstrous. Now, Jim, as a fan, I'm begging you, why don't you actually provide a quote, an example, a clip, anything, of Sarah Huckabee Sanders actually lying? You know why you don't? Because she doesn't lie. She's not a liar. And isn't this just great of another example of a liberal attacking a woman? The very sex of human beings that the liberals say is untouchable until they want to attack them. Then it's okay to attack Dana Loesch. Then it's okay to attack Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Then it's okay to attack the new director of the CIA. Yeah. In fact, let's go to that right now. Since, you know what, since we're talking about liberals attacking women, which they claim is you can't do that. Usually I go through an email from the ACLU and I'll highlight certain things and I'll dispel it and I'll show you how they're fake and how they hate America and how they're illegal and all this stuff. This entire email is basically a short essay on how Gina Haspel is bad. Literally, the entire email just trashes Gina Haspel from top to bottom. Now, I give the ACLU more credit with this email than any other one because with this email, they actually have examples and it makes sense. Okay, you're against torture. You stand by that. That's why you're against Gina Haspel. Oh, but wait. I thought we needed more women in charge. I thought women were the ones with the biggest hearts. I thought women were the ones that were going to come in here and rid us of all the corruption, rid us of all the war, the torture, and everything because they're loving souls and they're so nice and sweet. Oh, and then the ACLU says that Gina Haspel is the most wicked person ever and just wants to torture people all day. It's funny how that works. So again, women can't attack them, don't approach them. You're bad if you insult a woman, unless you're a liberal insulting a conservative woman, then it's all fine and dandy. So just more double standards there from a modern day liberal. Now, Mark Moreno at Climate Depot is just doing great work. He's just put out another book. Now he's ripping on Al Gore. I mean, Al Gore, this guy is a walking punchline. Al Gore travels to Dubai, so he flies to Dubai, adds to what he would call global warming, then gives a speech warning people about flying rivers and rain bombs. Former Vice President Al Gore is at it again. Gore is attempting to link extreme weather to man-made climate change, this time warning of flying rivers and rain bombs. I think Al Gore is in the avatar. But in a new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change from Mark Moreno, Gore is accused of engaging in scientifically baseless weather porn for attempting to link every bad weather event to global warming. And of course, Al Gore just released his second, I guess it's a documentary, Inconvenient Truth Part 2. Of course, that's after Inconvenient Truth Part 1, which was shown in schools all across the nation, ended up being completely wrong. Wrong, Al Gore, wrong, Al Gore, wrong again. Al Gore, you want to try again? Wrong. The guy hasn't even been right. I bet you couldn't even find an example of Al Gore ever being right about climate change. Think about that. And this is a leading voice of the liberals on climate change, a man who's never been right about climate change, who does an entire documentary on man-made global warming that ends up being wrong. There it is, an inconvenient truth too. This is the pitch. An inconvenient truth too by Al Gore, because the first one was so wrong. An Inconvenient Truth Part 2 by Al Gore, because I got it wrong the first time. An Inconvenient Truth Part 2 by Al Gore. Don't worry, we'll be wrong again. An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore 2. No science, just theory. An Inconvenient Truth Part 2 by Al Gore. I think that rivers are swimming in the streets of I think that fish are swimming in the streets of Miami. I mean, literally, if you followed everything this guy said, you'd think he belongs in a mental institution. So is Al Gore that stupid? Does he really belong in a mental institution? This was the Vice President of America, mind you, and, you know, maybe deservedly so. He's that dumb. So is Al Gore that dumb that he belongs in a mental institution? Kind of looks like it, kind of walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. Or is he really that corrupt? Is he that much of a greedy scumbag that he would lie to you about science and make science up, literally make science up, and then try to profit off of made up science with carbon shares and fake documentaries that he uses as propaganda? I mean, that is a sick, twisted, lying, crooked individual, Al Gore. Now, the only reason I cover this is not because it's important, but I've seen like five stories of this in the last couple weeks. Cops, female diners beat IHOP worker bloody. This is like the fifth story I've seen of a fight breaking out at a restaurant. Why? I mean, society. What? These people are nuts, man. Getting in a fight at a restaurant? I mean, what is wrong with people? And they, like I'm telling you, I've seen this story in the news like five times this month. So is it because I'm seeing it that I think it's happening more? Or is it really happening more? Like, is this just another sign of the decay of a lot of people in our society? I mean, what is wrong with you getting in a fight at an IHOP? Mental derangement, the lack of parenting, the list goes on. This is a story from the Washington Examiner. Official Washington flocking to doomsday camps. Now, I feel like this headline is a typo, but basically the story here is how a bunch of Washington insiders and elites are flocking to their doomsday camps, which is nothing new. This has been going on. Of course, the twist is now, you know, is this because of Trump? Is this because they know the deep state is about to pull something? Or is this just in general, people are so scared of Trump, just like you had conservatives that were that scared of Obama when he was tearing this country apart? Hey, guys, let's roll it real quick. Listen to this madness from CNN in clip five.
Better, should there be, in your opinion, a criminal investigation? I just don't know. I mean, this whole thing is just spinning out of control. We've got the President of the United States in a situation where his entire White House is falling apart. And just yesterday, we learned that Russia is hacking into our essential utilities, nuclear power plants, on and on and on.
Oh, you just learned that. You've been reporting it for a while.
This presidency is a very serious security threat to the United States.
Oh!
And if that security threat goes to these women, it's just
Okay. Yeah, let me get this straight. President Trump is a security threat to this country, but criminal sanctuary cities aren't. Open borders aren't, with criminals and terrorists pouring in aren't. None of that is. Aborting babies millions of times a year. No, none of that's a security threat. Trump is. Give me a break.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right. Final two segments. We're going to go to calls here, and I want to take more of your calls this week. I'm very light on guests, so I want to take more of your calls. It's just there's so much news. Real quick, let me just hammer out these final news stories here. I've talked about everything Austin explosion, but I didn't report on this just to let you know. This is actually aside from the explosions, there was a bomb threat called into a Bud Light party event. I believe it was a Roots concert. A bomb threat called into the concert. I do believe they have apprehended the individual. Yes, there he is, but they did have to cancel the concert. So not sure if there's any connection there. Have not heard anyone ask the police during any of these press conferences if there isn't a connection, and they have not mentioned any potential connection either. But CNN did report fake news. I mean, this is incredible. CNN tweets out, the two victims of Sunday's explosion in Austin, Texas are white. The previous victims were black or Hispanic, raising fears the attacks could be race-related.
What? Where's the logic? That doesn't make sense.
So they're attacking all different races. There's no rhyme or reason or pattern. Therefore, it's race related. And this last one, it could have been anyone. It was just an unsuspecting individual, in this case, two, walking down the street. So just leave it to CNN to be the fakest of fake news. I mean, seriously, like CNN is like fighting for the title of fake news every day. Did you know that Thursday, Jared and Ivanka, were taking off from Washington, D.C. in a helicopter when they had an engine failure and had to land back down? That kind of got shuffled under the headlines. Uber halts autonomous car testing after fatal car crash in Arizona. Who told you that was going to happen? InfoWars. In fact, David Knight has been leading the coverage on that stuff. And then there's this story. Belize is not just for backpackers anymore. The hikers have Haven is getting a serious injection of luxury, and yes, there will be underwater bungalows. I happen to be a little privy to what's going on in Belize right now. I have some friends that are buying land down there. Let me just tell you, they are trying to turn that country around, and if you're interested in investing very low, I mean very, very low, in some land and some property and getting some nice return, or even maybe even building a house, Belize is actually the place to go. Again, this is not been the best country in the world, but a lot of people are going down there and turning that area around. It's kind of an interesting story. Okay. All right. I now hand the baton over to the callers, and we go to you. All I ask is don't ask how I'm doing. Get right to the point. Try to make it quick. Have a good phone. Don't be on speakerphone so we can get as many callers in and get the most coherent points out as possible. We start with Mary in Colorado. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, my gosh. Where's my speakerphone? I'm trying to turn it off. Sorry.
It's all right. You're sounding okay. Are you referring to Trump saying death penalty for people who are selling smack on the streets today in his speech?
Yes, I am, and I wanted to make a hopefully quick and concise point of that. It depends on what he means by pairing the death penalty with drug dealers. As far as I can see, kind of on our horizon in our culture right now, on one side, you've got the opioid crisis. You got all these cocktails that they're giving our seniors in beds that they're dropping like flies from. You got kids as young as 4 that have been on medication since, you know, they were 4, on different psychoactive medications, on and on, antidepressants. And then on the other side of our horizon, you find medical marijuana, which there's no ODs, there's no nothing like that. And as far as my research proves, it's only been illegal throughout history when there was some sort of a government grab on it.
Okay, well, I think I understand your question, and I'll go ahead and try to answer this, and you tell me if I didn't get to it. Basically, you know, the way I understand Trump is he uses his bully pulpit and he uses his rhetoric to kind of create an environment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that what he says and its context is exactly how it's going to go, where he says death penalty for drug dealers. Again, we're not giving you the exact context here. But to me, what he's doing is he's trying to instill fear. He's coming off as tough. He's carrying a big stick and he's saying, look, we're not going to be having drug dealers peddling smack on the streets, killing people anymore. We're not going to be having people coming across the border, bringing drugs across the border, killing people anymore. And if we find out you're doing that, we're going to give you the death penalty. Now, if he actually falls through on that or not, I kind of doubt it. But it's all about instilling fear. It's all about instilling fear in that drug dealer, instilling fear in the big pharmaceutical companies that are pushing prescriptions out there just for a final profit margin. So I think what he's doing really more than anything, not announcing a political policy, but trying to instill fear in the people that are behind this drug epidemic. Does that make sense, Mary?
It does, but I wanted to point out an irony, if you could just give me one more minute. I've got a family member that's probably about your age, and when he was just barely 18, we were told our trade towers came down, so he immediately signed up and went and spent 6 years in the infantry fighting for our country for what he believed was, you know, what was the truth. And when he came stateside, he was having some adjustment issues, so he medical marijuana'd himself. They tested him. They told him, you can take these 3 different psychotropics instead, and he told him to shove it, and he was kicked out of the Army. So we always say he was kicked out of the Army for not using drugs. So my point is that Mr. Trump, if he's talking about death penalty for drug dealers, I hope he's talking and including the CEOs of Bayer, Johnson & Johnson.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Now, look, again, though, you have to understand, he's not making a political statement. So he's not saying, hey, you know, CEO of Bayer or CEO of whatever big farm, you're going to be guilty of the debt. You're going to get the debt. But it's all about instilling fear, Mary. So now, if you are the CEO of Bayer and you hear this, maybe now you're on your heels. Maybe now you're more open to a conversation and perhaps, you know, ratcheting back, pushing all the pharmaceuticals. We're just using Bayer as an example. I'm not sure if it's even relevant to this. But yes, Mary, and thank you for the call. And I will say, she makes another good point here about the troops that come home. They have PSD. And the doctors, of course, see, here's the thing. Big pharmaceutical companies and the Western medical industrial complex are working hand in hand. So they push all these drugs out, and that's an easy solution for them to do. Gets people in and out the door faster, so then they feel like they're doing something. And then the big pharmaceutical companies love it because they're just making money hand over fist, and it's essentially a mandate now for the medical industry in the West to just shove a pill down your throat. So, of course, when you have that type of system going, big pharmaceuticals making out like bandits, and they want to keep it going. So they're not going to mention and tell you about how bad the side effects are on the long term and the overall picture, because they're making money hand over fist. And then the doctors love it because they can get you in and just say, okay, here's a pill, bye. And then they don't actually have to cure you or fix whatever's wrong with you. And so it's a double-sided sword. And then Trump is trying to instill fear into the entire industry, saying, look, we know what you're doing, big pharma. You're shoving pills down people's throats for a profit. That's going to stop. We know that people are carrying illegal drugs across the border, selling them here, and people are dying. That's going to stop. And then you bring it to the second issue, which makes me wonder if Trump doesn't have something down the wire here. Because you listen to what Trump's saying, and he's basically saying he's going to fix this problem. And he doesn't say that type of stuff unless he has a plan. How many people would stop taking their big pharmaceutical drugs if they had access to marijuana? How many people would stop taking their deadly big pharmaceutical drugs if they had access to marijuana? And I think that that also sends fear through the hearts and minds of the big pharmaceutical agencies, again, because it hurts their profit margin, and that's all they've ever cared about. If they didn't care about that, they wouldn't be sending these pills out in mass like they're doing already. And it's amazing that we have this huge epidemic of opioids, this huge epidemic of painkillers, and people are dying left and right, and yet people want to say that guns are the biggest problem, shootings are the biggest problem. You can look up the numbers for yourselves. More people die from opioids than heroin, cocaine, and basically all other street drugs combined. More people die from pharmaceutical opioids. So what's the real problem here? Calls. I just ask that you be concise because I got to get through five calls in 10 minutes. But real quick, news story just came to my desk. Facebook security chief said to leave after clashes over disinformation. You start reading the story from the New York Times. And to me, this goes along with my theory that this is a stunt and they're somehow going to use this and spin all of this. The Facebook breaking the privacy agreement, the Cambridge Analytics working with the Trump campaign, but then caught in that undercover video talking about entrapping politicians. And now this Facebook security chief said to leave because of the disinformation. To me, this is a stunt. And I feel like this is all going to come back and they're going to blame Trump or no. They'll blame like us or something and say fake news and then say that's what got Trump elected. That I'm telling you, I'm just feeling the tea leaves on this one. This is a stunt and they're going to try to spin this back onto us and Trump somehow. And then this is nuts, just came across my desk as well. Woman crashes her car filled with accelerants, I'm being told that's like gasoline, etc., into sheriff's office, causing it to burst into flames. This is in Broward County, the sheriff's office. A woman crashes her car filled with accelerants into the sheriff's office. See, this is the same stuff. Guys, I can't. This is like the third story I've covered in a month about someone ramming their car into a building. What is going on out there? So, of course, we don't really have much information who this lady is. You wonder if it's not one of the victim's parents upset over the total dereliction of duty out there in Broward County. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Please make it quick. Let's go to Tom in Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Owen. I had a thought on the Austin bombings. They've had for years now. I originally saw it on InfoWars a while back or on Drudge about that Dragon Eye or that surveillance from aircraft that can do wide swaths of land at one time and do it in real time. That way they could see the entire area where this has happened and beyond and have video surveillance in real time from the air and pinpoint who it is. And then secondly, I had an idea about all these protests is we need to counter protest in every city in America where they're having these anti-gun protests by these little fascist brown shirt students that are brainwashed. And then we have to boycott all these companies that are against the Second Amendment, dumping their Second Amendment or their business connections. And now they're even banning magazines and dating sites that have guns in them.
A lot of issues to tackle. As far as your final point, I agree. And I think even though it's not a consolidated effort, I do think we're chipping away with that. Just look at the shares at Dick's, which bellied out when they announced that they were going to raise their buying age. I do think it's kind of corrected itself. As far as the live cameras on any aircraft in the area recording and using those recordings to track this down in real time, I'd have to look more into that to get a full understanding. I think that there might be a lot of factors involved with that that might determine whether or not you could use that as a measure to try to figure out who did this. If they had the ability to do that, I imagine they would. But then again, I think you're looking at the FBI, and a lot of people don't trust the FBI. Thank you for the call, Tom. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Owen, just a shout out if these people living in these big cities, liberal cities, they should get out. Lord willing, we win in 2018, and then again in 2020, they're going to lose their minds. And these big cities is going to turn into modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. They will absolutely burn them down. And one other thing, love your eagle and flag on your new sign. Love it. All right, later.
Thank you, and that's thanks to the great graphic guys here that helped put these graphics together. We got a great crew here. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com, and we'll continue to hire great crew members. He's thanking the crew there. I forgot his original point. Oh, yeah. Well, the cities have kind of already turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, honestly, I mean, look at California. Look at, you know, some of the debauchery that goes on in cities like New Orleans or Vegas. Not complaining, not acting like, I'm above it all. But there was, I mean, I have to say that, I mean, if Republicans really dominate in the midterm elections, I think that you're right. I think that the liberals are going to get even crazier because it's going to be like Reality Shock 2.0, and they're going to be even more vile and more violent than they were originally. Wow, that's actually scary to think about. Let's go to Josh in Tennessee. Wants to talk about Jay Sekulow. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Owen. How you doing, man? So quick plug. OccuPower, you guys don't talk about that very much. That's a great product. A lot of my eyes have been degenerating a lot, and I started taking it, and I really feel like it stopped. It's helping me see, cleared up my vision a lot. So OccuPower is great for people who are looking for something like that.
Oh, let me just echo you real quick, because I know that OccuPower is not one of our top sellers. I take OccuPower every day. When I sit in the studios with these lights glaring on me, it actually wears on my eyes, and it really bothers them. And when I take the OccuPower, I actually feel a relief. So no doubt that's the real deal. And it's not even close to one of our most popular products, but very effective for your eye health. Thank you so much for that plug, Josh. Now go ahead with your comment.
Absolutely. So about Jay Sekulow, I live in Franklin. Jay actually has a house here. He's a customer where I work and kind of running some of the same circles. It's been kind of talked about around here for years now that Jay is kind of a neocon. I believe he said of himself that he was kind of integral in writing the Patriot Act, or at least parts of the Patriot Act, and we've been talking about that around here for quite some time now. But I've got a family member that actually is friends with one of Jay's friends who's also in the Jay Sekulow band. Now, this particular person isn't really pro-Trump, but the word from him is that Jay doesn't actually like Trump, and that... I don't know if I could say that he's doing things to sabotage him, but the word is that he doesn't like Trump. He said back last year when all this was going on, talking about Trump being out of office by the end of the year, he was talking about that, saying, yeah, Trump's going to be out of office by the end of December or by the turn of the year. He was telling people that. And just recently, heard again from this person that Jay did not like the president, didn't care for him.
I'll tell you what, Josh. Not to discredit you or disrespect you. It's just I'm simply not going to report on hearsay. What I will tell you is I think that the original analysis is spot on. You could probably chalk him up with some neocon agendas in the past. Perhaps the Patriot Act was one of those. But here's the thing, though. I feel like what Trump is trying to do is he's trying to bring everybody together onto the same team. And even if he feels like maybe Sekulo may go sideways or wasn't with them in the beginning or even says negative things about him, I think Trump has this mentality that he really can bring everybody together. He really can get everybody on the same page. And he does view Jay Sekulo as a brilliant mind and a good lawyer. And so he feels like he could really benefit from having Sekulo on his team. As far as what Sekulo does or says behind the scenes, again, I can't really report on that hearsay, not to discredit what you're saying or not saying I trust you. But as far as I can tell, I mean, it seems like at least for the Trump administration, Sekulo hasn't really been any problem. But we'll see how Sekulo goes. We still have some time to judge him. But again, as far as your original points, I think that there's probably some history and some case to be made for that and the neocon. As far as the latter and any comments he's making in private, I simply just don't want to report on that hearsay right now. Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's go to Jason now in New Mexico. Jason, make it quick.
Thank you for taking my call. I know we're short on time. Just real quick, I had a fun game to play with the InfoWarriors. Let's research Obama administration and Russian connections, because the first one I found was in 2014, Russian military was stationed at Fort Carson in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is known as, you know, like a special force op base. And so I wonder myself if the Russian forces actually were part of the NWO ISIS. And we know that last week they talked about how the U.S. killed some of the Russian special forces in Syria. But like I said, I think it was around 2014, the Obama administration let the Russian military come train at Fort Carson, Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is a well-known special op base.
Well, and I know that that did happen. And in fact, of course, there's the big secret base out there in the Rocky Mountains. There were also other reports that could never be corroborated that there were essentially Russian military units spread throughout the United States, just kind of in a secretive undercover deal. Again, those were never corroborated. Look, there's obviously a huge history with Russia and the United States, a lot of dark history, some good stuff. I just feel like right now the direction Russia is going is positive, and why wouldn't we want to hitch up with them and both be nationalistic and defeat the despicable results that come with communism? Thank you so much for the call, Jason. I just think it's sad that Russia gets this weird demonization. It's like, since when? You know, Russia's been trying to infiltrate our infrastructure and our college education system for decades, but now all of a sudden that they're going away from communism, Russia's the bad guy. It's very strange. We had a caller, Nemo. This person has been trying to reach out to me for a while, and it's never been able to get through. I hope I can hear from you again. Other than that, we sign off for today. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.